You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everybody, Tim McMaster here. The MLB Extras Braves podcast is back with Mark Bowman, our Braves reporter. Mark, welcome back to another offseason and what is going to be a very optimistic, I think, offseason for the Atlanta Braves.
It'll certainly be an eventful offseason, much different than last year's offseason. They have some money to spend, maybe every bit as importantly this season. Everyone knows that they exceeded expectations. They did so because Mike Foltynewicz took a step forward in some ways. Sean Newcomb, showed some progress. They have a better understanding where they stand with the rotation. And they'll need to add some bullpen arms. I would assume that's my expectation. That'll be a priority. But, they don't necessarily know that this – Arodis Vizcaíno, their closer, can stay healthy for an entire season, but they feel better about what they saw from Chad Sabatka late in the year and A.J. Minter. They have a few pieces there. And within the lineup, they have an understanding of where at least where they can go with six of their eight position players. They're going to be looking for a right fielder and a catcher. But they have the money to spend. They can be a player for – basically anybody. It'll be interesting to see exactly how they allocate what, I expect to be at least $60 million to spend this winter.
Yeah, we'll get into those possible options as we go along here. I want to start, though, and get into Brian Snicker because, you know what, the season started. This wasn't the deal. He has done a tremendous job, takes over, and now he's gotten a two-year contract extension, including an option for 2021. Is Brian Snicker the National League Manager of the Year in your eyes, Mark?
I do. Obviously, I had a chance to watch him every day. I understand the folks in Milwaukee who would say that Craig Counsell deserves it, and even in Colorado, those who would back Bud Black. But what Brian did there, it wasn't just this season. While he might be awarded for this year's accomplishments, he changed the culture in a hurry within that clubhouse. He showed up in the middle, 6 weeks into the 2016 season, the team was 9-28. Freddie Freeman said they walked out of the first meeting feeling like they were 28-9. He just has always had that way with players. I saw it again the day that they clinched the division title this year. The text that I started getting, from Nick Green and Kelly Johnson, Pete Orr happened to be there as a scout. He talked about how he was scouting for the Brewers. He was at the game when they clinched that day, talked about the tears in his eyes. Just Brian McCann, Jeff Francoeur, the guys that have played for him in the minors know exactly everything he's gone through, know exactly what the Braves mean to Brian Snicker. That was a you kind of get even more of a sense of what today's players from the current roster, why they love him. This guy has – John Smoltz called him the most intimidating manager he ever experienced at the minor league level. He wasn't even his manager. He was an instructional league coach for him. But at the same time, while he has that ability to maybe – provide that strong hand, he's also shown love and respect for his players. And I think that what he started to do in 2016, what he was able to maintain a positive aspect within that clubhouse in 2017, just carried over into this year where they came into the season, why not us, saying why not us? And they delivered and proved pretty much all of us wrong about what they were going to be able to accomplish this year.
All right, you mentioned that they have the money to spend, obviously, this winter, and one reason for that is that they have this great, controllable, cheap pitching staff right now because there's all these young kids that aren't making the money yet, which is a perfect situation to be in a rebuild. So they could go different routes. There's a lot of different ways to spend money, Mark, on the open market. You can go after those big names. You can go after maybe more mid-level guys. When you look at what their needs versus different philosophies, are they going to be a player for the big name free agents? And when I say big names, obviously there's the Harper and Machado, but there's other names after that as well.
Here's what I'd say. You'll hear them linked to at least Harper, just for simple fact, you know, it's he and Freddie Freeman developed a friendship during the All-Star game, whether that's leaked from Harper's side or the Braves side that there's interest. Yes, I think there's a level of interest. I don't think the Braves are willing to go beyond, you know, 4 years for too many players. So I think that takes them out of the equation probably for Harper, unless you start getting into, well, go ahead and give him one of those deals as 4 years with an opt-out and let him go ahead and walk away after 4 years, that kind of stuff. Do they have the money and potential interest to go after Harper? Yes. Do I expect them to end up with him? No. Alex Anthopoulos has shown that he understands the value of the depth within an organization. Yeah, it'd be nice to get that big bat in this lineup, but does that big bat in the lineup, while you're sacrificing the need maybe to get a couple of different relievers, proven relievers, or one starter to a frontline starter to pair with Mike Foltynewicz, and then maybe add a catcher, whether that's JT Realmuto, and we'll come back to JT Realmuto because he's going to become a big focus of this offseason, Grandal, do you pay the money there? I think that instead of going and getting that one big piece, my anticipation is Alex is going to find a way to get, two, three, four big, pieces that cost anywhere between that $10 to $20 million range.
Mark, you mentioned JT Realmuto, and so let's get right into that. It's an interesting name. Obviously, it would be a trade versus signing a free agent, and it's within the division. Do you think the Marlins would be less interested in trading him to the Braves than maybe some other team? And obviously the Braves have the system to go out and trade for a guy like that. Are they going to want to give up the type of package it would take?
Yeah, I think so. I think that it's, he fits everything they need in the catcher. He's controllable for a couple years. Arguably the game's best catcher right now. Can handle a young pitching staff. The thing is, we go back to the last offseason. The question was, should the Braves go after Yelich or Realmuto? My thinking was, look, I understand that Christian Yelich can be a superstar. It'd be great to have him, but I think it was more important to go after Realmuto just because there just aren't that many good catchers out there. The Braves' best catcher in their system, Wilson Contreras, is at the eighth ball level. He's probably at least 2 years away. They need somebody to pair with Tyler Flowers, who probably, if you got a Realmuto or a Grandal, he becomes more of a backup. Once you go out here in the next couple of weeks and get a feel for whether it's going to be possible to get Realmuto, first of all, you'll know whether you've addressed one of your primary needs. You'll have been able to do so much cheaper than you would have with getting Grandal. So now all of a sudden, exactly how much money you have to spend to go get a starter or a reliever. An outfielder, because Nick Markakis is, I'm not saying he's definitely gone, but he's a free agent. So you have multiple needs to fill. If you could go ahead and use your pieces, let's throw together a package. It's going to be a steep package. Let's say Austin Riley. We'll go with Mike Soroka for right now. I know everyone's high on Mike Soroka, but there has to be some questions about his shoulder. And then throw in one other prospect. Give that package to the Marlins. Are you gambling? Yeah, sure. Maybe Mike Soroka becomes a top pitcher. Maybe Austin Riley becomes an all-star third baseman. At the same time, you have the depth within your system. The progress of Johan Camargo as a third baseman has put you in this position where you can. You have multiple areas of strength right now from within your pipeline. And so I think that while the Phillies and the Nationals will also be coming after Realmuto, the Braves are the team that has the pieces that would, you know, lead the Marlins and say, hey, look, I know this is within our division, but at the same time, let's get it done. And you take a step back also from the Marlins' perspective. I think they're more than 2 years away. So they're more than willing to take that gamble because they're saying, yeah, we're giving this to a team within a division, but we're not going to win within these next 2 years anyhow, so does that really matter? We're going to go out and get where we, you know, deal with a club that's going to give us the best prospects in return.
Have the Braves reached this point, and this will be the last question mark, but the Braves reached the point where you have so many prospects. This system was so loaded with talent. Eventually, you fill all your spots at the big league level, and you eventually have to trade other prospects because there's nowhere else to put them. Have the Braves kind of gotten to the point where they have to look at it that way too, that you can't keep them all, and this is the best way to spend them as a as an asset?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. We've already started to see a lot of the starting pitchers arrive. And, you know, you sit back, take a step back and you say, okay, Colby Allard didn't impress like you expect him to. At the same time, you realize he's 20 years old. Do you try to trade him now because another team says, yeah, I want that? They still value him the way everybody did before he arrived at the big league level and had a few rough appearances. Like I said, you've got Mike Soroka, who's expected to be healthy next year, Allard, Tuki Toussaint, Bryce Wilson, adding that to a rotation that already included two relatively young guys with Foltynewicz and Newcomb and Kevin Gausman. They will be dealing some of these arms this year. Max Fried as well. You can say, okay, well, you need some guys in reserve and you need some guys in the bullpen. Well, you also don't want to get to that point where not all these prospects are going to hit. We've said that time and again. There's also, the fact that once they are exposed to the big league level, their value is going to decrease. Luis Gohara this year, we go back a year ago and what we were saying about Luis Gohara, here's this guy that could be a rookie of the year, definitely a strong piece within rotation. He goes through a season like this year. That prospect value can decrease in a hurry. You're probably going to have to remain patient with a guy like Gohara. I hope he bounces back, gets himself in better shape, has a better year. But you need to go ahead and take a gamble on some of those other guys because they're not all going to hit. Figure out which one fits best for you and move ahead and try and address some other areas of need within that strength that you have with your depth, your starting pitching depth in your pipeline.
All right. It's going to be an interesting off season. And this was supposed to be the off season where we thought about, hey, in 2019, maybe the Braves are finally ready to contend. Well, we're a year ahead of that because the Braves are coming off a playoff appearance in 2018. We will continue to get you ready throughout the off season here on the podcast with Mark Bowman. I'm Tim McMaster. Thanks for tuning in to MLB Extras, the Braves podcast.